This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 288 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype, hopefully, from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you? He's gonna...
Hello. Tell me when we're ready to go, Bruce. I'm here for you, dude.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. How's your week been?
Do your spiel. Do your intro spiel. Yeah. Welcome to our hour you'll never get back of your life, episode 4,712, or at least it feels that way.
Been there, done that.
Can I just say? Yeah. I got a very distressing message from Facebook this week.
From Facebook?
I got a very distressing... It really cut to the heart of me, Bruce. Saying, keep up the good work with Shudders Inc. podcast. Your latest post is having 95% more success than all your other posts.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was the one saying we aren't recording this week. It's
like, yep.
So we're bringing good news to the people.
That's it.
Oh, so sad. So very sad. It makes us feel special.
Yeah.
Well, since we tried to record last Thursday and it all went pear-shaped, and it's now the following Tuesday, and we've both done some extensive research in the following 4 or 5 days.
Yep.
I tell you what, let's not talk about anything we were going to talk about last week. Let's talk about the stuff we just researched yesterday and today.
Sounds fantastic.
Okay, so lovely talking to you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, exactly.
So some of the stuff we're going to talk about may be slightly out of date. Is that what we're saying?
Possibly.
Possibly. That's all right.
But still relevant.
Yeah. Is it African irrelevant or an Indian irrelevant?
There you go. I don't know.
my week and a half, since it's been a week and a half, and we're going to talk about stuff over the last week and a half, it's been interesting.
It's been about 10 days?
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff's happened. I took the kids down to the air show.
Right.
The Melbourne International Air Show the weekend before last.
Did you bring them home again?
No, that was the best. That's why I took them down there for in the first place. It's a long drive. They can't find the way back.
Excellent.
But I took them, when I say I took them to the air show, my arms are quite short and my pockets are quite deep. So we just parked across the road from it.
Right.
So you could see them flying over and stuff, but you didn't have to pay.
Yep.
Yeah, the $300 or whatever it's taking their dad and two little kids to go in to see some planes. And I thought, I'll take along the Tamron 150 to 600 and do some shots.
Nice.
Stuff's not easy, you know.
Why?
Well, they're really small things moving really, really fast against often a completely blank sky.
Yep.
So, of course, autofocus becomes a big issue when you've got this big expanse of pretty much nothing.
Yep.
And only a very small area of contrast, a la the fast-moving subjects.
But you'd have your focus set to the centre spot only.
Yeah, but this...
Are you telling me that the planes were that small, that even that was...
Yeah, absolutely. When they're coming toward, there might be only a couple of millimetres, 4 or 5 millimetres. And remember, you're trying to hold a 600mm extremely heavy lens up. Up in the sky.
Yeah, right.
Even the slightest movement moves that thing. Oh, here's the other thing. It just hit me just then. I thought about it whilst we're shooting. Yeah. See how excited I just got? Something I probably never noticed before, but really noticed on this day. It was a really windy day.
Yeah.
Right. And just how bad a lens hood becomes a sail on a windy day.
Oh, right.
This thing was bucking in the wind, like it was just buffeting the lens hood.
Well, that makes sense.
Which it does. It makes perfect sense.
It's a big cup. It's like a spinnaker on the front of your lens.
Exactly right. Yeah. So that was another sort of I normally work in fairly controlled environments. It doesn't normally have those sort of. I'm not using whopping great big lenses pointing up into the sky.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I took the gear down was I really wasn't expecting to have much of a chance of taking any photos with two little kids running around.
Yep.
But because one of my customers who bought this lens was at the show the day before, their show the day before, and was bleating about, the lens is crap, it won't focus, and all this sort of stuff. And it focuses on one body but not the other one, and all this sort of stuff.
Right.
And so I thought, I'm going to go and yeah, test it for myself. And absolutely right. I mean, trying to get these things to focus in a no contrast situation,
yep.
whilst your hands moving all over the place. it is a challenge for an autofocus system, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
But the interesting thing was he had a so-called full-frame body, one of the high-end Canons,
yeah.
and one of their cheaper Canons, but one's non-full-frame, but designed more for sport, so no, 8 frames yep. a second, that sort of stuff. Well, the one with the high frame rate had no problem focusing.
Yeah, so
obviously the focusing system
is different. It's
designed more for some movement. If you're shooting 8 frames a second, you're not doing portraits.
No.
So the cheaper camera handled no problem at all. The more expensive camera struggled.
Wow.
I ended up just leaving it on manual focus and realizing I was going to miss a fair bunch of shots.
Yeah, right.
And of course, the shot of the day I missed.
Right.
Because I was waiting for a particular thing to happen.
Yeah.
And just before it happened, I lowered my lens to find miss three directly underneath the flight path of my lens. Whack! Right in the top of the head. Followed by several seconds of minutes of that,
yeah, right.
screaming and crying, whilst I'm holding this crying child, I'm watching the thing happen directly over my head. It was perfect. The light was perfect. The angle, I would have. It's like, it's when all the vapor trails come over the edge of the wings and get this sort of stream of vapor trail. It looked awesome in the sunlight.
Yeah.
For the fleeting second, my eyes got to view it. How do I get for life? But I got a couple of decent shots,
cool.
you know, which, you know, firing flares whilst hurtling, you know, 700 kilometers an hour straight up into the sky, which is pretty good, and manually in focus. So that was a kind of a fun day.
Cool.
And then I had a wonderful experience of taking my mate Dave Oakley down to the Phillip Island Camera Club with me.
How did that go?
Got him to talk. Well, he won them all over, dude. Yeah.
Cool.
They loved it. I think he's become their mascot.
Way to go, David.
I think they're actually getting, you know, like badges made up. Yeah, I was there when Dave spoke kind of thing. No, he did great. He did it, you know, because he can't read. He can't read a written word. He can't write, and he can't read because of his brain injury.
Yep.
So he couldn't have notes.
Right. So it was all done from memory.
Yeah, and his PowerPoint, his keynote presentation he only had on his iPad, but no way it's connected to the projector.
Oh, no.
So I had to put him on I just grabbed the images and put them onto a USB key, put them on my computer, but there was no order to them. At least on his system, there was an order. So I'm trying to listen to him talk and trying to choose which image he's
talking about.
He's not really talking about the. He wasn't really talking about the images. He was talking about times of his life and the sorts of things he was doing. So I'm having to try and guess the photos.
Yeah.
But they loved him. He was awesome. He talked for about 40 minutes and was inspirational.
Nice. Well done, David.
Yeah. It was, and for a middle of the day.
Yep.
Which is the first time I've ever talked to the camera club in the middle of the day. There were about 30 people there, which is pretty good.
Wow.
And more importantly, some really old codgers. Old dudes. So we've got a couple of nice photos. Then we did a little impromptu photo shoot out in the corridor.
Yeah.
Between two doorways. We had some beautiful light and captures a couple of beautiful portraits. Just beautiful portraits. I love some of the shots I got from that little shoot.
Shooting through toilet doors again, were we?
No, not this one. Right. No, this is just the entranceway between three doorways, effectively. Between two corridors and into the room where we were talking. So they were really cool. Yeah. And, got a few photos. I told them to bring their cameras and they all got to take some photos too. And so, yeah, it was a fun experience. It was a long drive. It was, it took me 3.5 hours to get there.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Which is, I think, the longest I've ever gone so far to get to a camera club talk. But, but they were people. Cool. And got to have a lovely day out with my mate Dave, which is always a nice thing.
So, why 3 hours? It's not 3 hours from your place down to Phillip Island, surely.
Well, it is, especially if you're trying to travel down at peak hour. And you've got to divert to pick up Mr. Oakley.
Right. Okay.
Just sent you a link to the photo, my favourite photo of the day.
Right.
I'll call him Santa. But just whilst we're discussing the light we were shooting, I'll get to have a look at the image. We can maybe put it into the podcast. Yep.
Nice.
Because it was literally as the corridor. So it was a long tunnel.
Right.
With a light source on either end.
Okay.
If you look at the photograph, he's positioned close to the right-hand side entrance, so it's a big light source.
Yep.
And down the other end of the corridor, because it's from distance, it becomes a small entrance. So it's a small light source, gave us that hard light on the left hand side of his face, that little sculpt of light.
Yep.
It was a beautiful studio place to shoot.
So you're essentially just shooting across the width of a corridor?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Awesome.
No space whatsoever. The whole area to shoot was about 4 feet, I guess, in width.
Yeah, right.
So it was pretty small. Yeah. So I do love a good corridor. You're forced to, aren't you?
Exactly.
So that went really well. And I think I might be doing some more stuff for them as well, which would be lovely. So doing some workshops and things for them. And then I put another one of the photos up from that shoot. And with the typical, to some people, this photo's wrong. And you and I both saw this post. It's a woman commented.
Yep.
Yeah, the judge in me is gnashing her teeth, but the artist in me is fighting it. And I'm going, well, why on earth is the judge in you fighting this photo? Because the person's looking out of the frame, and you're not allowed to look out of a frame, according to camera clubs.
I don't get that.
I don't get it either, you know? And, as lovely as the lady is, and I don't want to say anything mean, but who died and made her a judge?
Yeah.
What knowledge base, what years and years of artistic merit and experience does she have to feel she can pass judgment on somebody else's photographs?
But
I don't feel worthy after 36 years of doing it full time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't feel worthy of judging someone's photographs.
The thing is, it's art. And
it
art
is.
By its very nature is subjective. So it comes down to the creative vision of the artiste.
Exactly.
To present his art in whatever way, shape, manner, or form he or she so desires.
If you don't like, you don't have to like it.
Exactly.
I guess there's two points to the argument. If you're putting your photos out to be judged, well, more for you.
Then you're encouraging critique.
You're encouraging a person with who knows what experience or what viewpoints or agendas to judge your work.
Yep.
Now, you can't take offence at anything they say or if they like or don't like your photograph because, well, you put it out there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but there's a difference between putting it on Facebook and putting it in a photo competition.
Oh, absolutely. But I put it up there with the comment that I actually made the comment that judges and camera clubs would say this photo is wrong.
Right.
It was actually the post of me putting the photo up.
Yeah.
To everybody else, it's like, well, yeah, to me, there's nothing wrong with the image. And this woman just happened to pop on and say, yeah, well, the judge in me doesn't like it. But the artist in me does. And I just don't get that. I mean, how can there be two different things in her head?
Yeah.
How can she be both a judge who feels one way and an artist who feels a different way? How can they be conflicting? What rules is she following? She's certainly not following herself.
No.
She's not following her own belief.
Her heart.
Yeah, her own heart. When she's judging, she's following somebody else's preconceived notions. So
she's basically following a recipe.
Yeah, it's a dishonesty in itself, really, isn't it? So I thought that was really interesting this week, that comment really, and your response to it was very good as well.
I can't remember what I wrote, but I know it was along those lines.
It was insightful and deeply felt and thought. I'm just trying to find it on Facebook. What did you say? But isn't that the whole point of negative space and positive space? That was yours, yeah.
Yep.
So this is, the judge in me grinds my teeth, but the photographer in me agrees 100%. Okay? So I said, well, that's an interesting point. What does your judge side feel is wrong with the photograph? She goes, I just instinctively like to have space for the subject to be looking into. Well, isn't that an artistic, if she instinctively feels that way, isn't that the photographer in her as well?
Yeah.
So she's almost counteracting her own argument. I feel this, but I don't know, so.
Mm.
And once, just because I say it doesn't mean it's right. It's just some old
person's
opinion.
But it's that mentality that there's a right way to shoot and a wrong way to shoot that bothers me.
Yeah, exactly. I just sent that photo through as well, so we could put that up on the
in the show notes. Yep.
In the show notes too. Yep. Yeah, just so it's got people can see and they can make their own choice.
Yeah.
Funny, they're both the same. Both images are the same bloke. So,
right.
30 seconds of each other.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, but it's an interesting viewpoint. And speaking of the fact that it was taken within 30 seconds of each other, yeah. It's just how different you can sculpt that in that same 4 foot of space with those two simple light sources, doorways, how different you can make the feel of the images look as well just by your positioning and their positioning. So
yeah.
But I just want to know who died and left all these photo judges around. That's because I had I arrived in the mail today. I received a package from a camera club I'm talking at in a couple of weeks' time.
Right,
where I have to judge their photo competition.
Oh dear!
Again, I know. Oh dear, getting me to judge.
So it'll be the last time you talk at that camera club.
First and last, yeah. But here's the thing. I don't know what an – okay, so they have these rules, these camera clubs.
Yeah.
But they're not teaching any bloody technique because these photos are woeful.
Right.
I looked at –
Oh, is that what they sent you in the package?
Yeah.
Was the photo. Was the
photos judged.
Oh, gosh.
Look, and only 90% of them I've looked at so far, so I haven't seen the whole lot.
Yeah.
But so far
– yeah.
Not one good photo.
Right.
Not one good – and the thing is – The topic was the one I really liked. Yeah, I don't want to give it away in case the people who are at that club.
No, by tell some us, chance, tell us after it's been and gone.
Yeah, but it's like, but the topic was. I'd love to see people's view on this.
Yep.
And there's some slightly good ideas. Just the execution is just so poor. So I'm not sure what experience level this club's at. But right. if these are from some of their senior people,
yep.
My goodness, they need some help. Yeah, that's
why they're getting you in there, mate.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, this thing, camera clubs just go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I talk a lot of clubs, and I see a lot of images from clubs, and there's not a lot of outstanding work. And shouldn't that be where a lot of outstanding work should come from?
Well, you would like to think so, but I think it's a case of. These are, the people who join camera clubs are people who are passionate about wanting to take images but understand that they don't have the skills yet, so they all get together. And
people in these clubs have been in these clubs for 30 or 40 years, Bruce.
And they haven't progressed.
It just astounds me, me. Well, now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I guess it's a case of the blind leading the blind.
It could be.
You know,
but it's once again. You look at some of the websites like 500px and stuff,
yeah.
and the astounding work that's put out there.
It's phenomenal.
You know? Canon's Facebook feed today, Canon Australia. Oh, it's just some photos from their listeners, their viewers or whatever readers have been submitting, and the photos are astounding. It's like, well, yeah, I just want to see even a quarter of that at a camera club level.
Yeah,
not a quarter of volume, a quarter of the quality.
Yeah.
A tenth of the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, a tenth of the vision maybe even, not even the quality.
Yeah, but if you put a group of people together, you know, and the most experienced photographer amongst them is mediocre at best, then you no matter how many people join that club, you can't expect the quality is ever going to exceed that of the best shooter in the group.
Yeah, I know. But that's club after club after club. Yeah.
Maybe there's a business opportunity there somewhere.
Maybe. Who knows? A couple of other things.
Yeah.
Put a warning up on my Facebook page the other day, and definitely one I put up for you. Canon service advisory about not using lithium batteries in their speed lights and their flash guns.
Okay. Lithium as in rechargeables?
The non-rechargeable. You know, the lithium AA batteries you can buy, the longer life ones.
Oh, okay.
Not to put them in their flash guns.
Right.
Because of overheating issues.
Okay.
And we also know what happens when lithium batteries can overheat. They can explode and turn into fire.
So what are the non-rechargeable batteries that aren't lithium?
Nickel cadmium.
Okay.
So, they're rechargeable in NiCad, but all the normal batteries. The lithium's like the really expensive AA batteries.
Yep.
The other ones are but the thing is, if Canon are saying this, well, how are Canon flashes any different from anybody else's?
Yep.
And to me, they're not. Therefore, maybe you shouldn't put lithium batteries in any flash gun.
Yeah, I would only take this advice with a grain of salt. And I would only take it super seriously if you're the type of person who shoots like a machine gun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think if you're shooting, you know, one frame a second or less, I very much doubt the batteries are going to overheat to the point of blowing up your flash.
Well, if you own something like a Nikon SB900...
Yeah, which you've got $1,000 in your flash, yeah.
Yeah, which only took about 6 photographs on full power on a hot day to melt.
What?
Yeah, that was one of the worst flashes ever made in the history of photography. That sucker was just a melting machine.
Which part of it melted?
Oh, all the circuitry inside, it just killed it.
Really?
Yeah, it just overheated really badly. Really bad. It just had massive heat issues.
Right.
So you can imagine if you had a massive heat issue flash gun, and you're using batteries that, when they're massively heated, turn into big exploding fire things, not the best combination.
Yeah, right.
So I would say, err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Like unless I said, you live in really cold countries.
I just think if you are conservative with the number of times you're firing it, I don't know. I'm just skeptical.
Yeah, it only takes one day to get a bit excited.
Yeah, okay.
One moment, one experience, and bang, your flash gun's dead, or so are you. But it's serious enough for Canon to put out a service advisory.
Yeah, okay.
So to me, that's a fairly wide... I mean, it's not just an isolated one or two times it's happened.
Yeah.
To me, that's a reason... And yeah, look, if you're a working...
I mean, I haven't read the article. What exactly did it say?
I didn't read it either.
Why did I know? That Why would do you be your response.
Why do you ask these questions week in, week out? You think you would learn.
Dear. All right, what else you got?
Well, our camera that's travelling around the world.
Yeah, which we haven't heard from for a week at least.
Well, I heard a little bit of news from our man Steve Peters.
Oh, yeah?
Because he was the last person I heard who had it.
Right.
And he kind of stuffed up his shot.
What did he do?
One chance. Well, he was doing some studio shots.
You know, there's no lens cap to leave on.
Yeah, I know. But he's facing backwards. Got a shot of his ear. No, apparently he was doing some photos in the studio. He thought, this is where I'm going to use my disposable because the disposable's got a flash. The flash goes off and fires off all the studio lights as well.
Oh!
Now it could be awesome. Or it could be the other word that starts with or. Yeah. And leaves you feeling quite full at the end. So I'm looking forward to all these funny little experiences from this camera as it goes
around. Mate, it's called high key, okay?
High key. Or a blank frame.
No, it's high key. It's art. Yeah. It's on the interpretation.
It's on the interpretation. What would I know?
Yeah, that's
who am I to judge? Yeah, it's a white cat and a snowy day.
That's it.
speaking of flashes blowing up, because I just thought about this one as well.
Yeah.
I can't even remember who I was talking to now. It was someone during the week. It was a guy at the camera club last week.
Right.
In Phillip Island. He mentioned that somebody he knew or a friend of a friend, this is where the story gets a bit dubious, got a cheap charger from overseas. Yeah, you get these real El Cheapo battery chargers for your
right, for recharging his camera battery?
For recharging his camera battery.
Right.
Which, whilst he was out, set on fire and burnt down his house.
Ouch.
Which is bad.
That's got to hurt.
What makes it worse is his house insurance refused to cover it.
Why?
Because it was the battery charger that set it on fire and it wasn't C-ticked. He was using an appliance that wasn't approved for use.
Sorry, what's C-ticked?
Well, any electrical products brought into Australia have to be certified, have to be checked to apply for Australian standards. Okay,
yep.
This is one of the reasons why Australian stuff's more expensive. Every single product has got to go through this rigorous testing, right?
Right.
This stuff brought in from overseas, of course, doesn't.
Ooh.
And it burnt down this guy's $400,000 house.
Ouch.
And once again, I don't know if it's urban legend or how much truth there is to it, but according to this... house insurance refused to cover it because it wasn't an approved product for use in Australia.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Cautionary words, we'd have to say, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
It was a bit scary. And then I had an interesting experience this week as well, doing another photo little... I've got a weird little bunch of stuff happening. Photographing planes Don't do that.
Right.
I did a couple shoot 2 days ago. I don't do any photos like that anymore. But I did a couple shoot of the oldest person I know as far as length of time, my oldest mate in the world. I've known since I was like 9.
Oh, wow.
Who now lives in Botswana.
Oh, okay.
And the Philippines. He lives in between the two. And he was in Melbourne with his wife, and they want some his to-be wife, soon-to-be wife, and they wanted prenuptial
photos. You're saying he lives in the middle of the Indian Ocean?
Botswana, that's right, said, yes.
Between Botswana and the Philippines. Yeah. He lives in between the two. I'm thinking right.
On a plane, man, on a plane. The plane. Yes, I did. So I did a photograph of my oldest friends in the world, which was a novel experience. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then this Thursday, I'm doing corporate photography training. I'm training corporate people who don't know how to take photographs to take photos of their products and each other.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
That's 5 hours of joy by the sounds of that, doesn't it? You know? That's going to be just not going to be a struggle town at all, is it really, when you think about it? It'll be easy. So there's going to be a challenge. And, you know, as much as I've been trying to bleat to these people for weeks, give me your expectations of what you want to learn in the shoot. I've got to know. You've got to give me how. I've got to get the gear organized. I've got to make sure it's something I can even teach you, you know. Because once again, we can't take photos. I'm not an expert at taking photos of everything.
The question is, what sort of gear are they going to have to use?
Well, that's the other thing,
after
too.
The training has been completed.
Nothing. They don't even have a camera yet.
That's kind of going to limit
I'll be supplying what they can do. I'll be supplying all the camera gear.
Yeah, but you'll be supplying it for the training. I'm talking about what are they going to be using after you've conducted your training and gone on your merry way with your pocket full of cash. What are they going to have to use?
I don't care. I've got my pocket full of cash. They're going to buy some. But here's the thing. So you've got to tell me what you need to know. You've got to tell. Yeah, and she got back to me on Friday. No problem. We've sent out to everyone who's come along to send through the expectation list. We'll have it to you no later than Wednesday lunchtime, which is 10 hours before, 12 hours before I've got to teach them how to use the damn stuff. This is just – this is so let's tune in next week for what kind of disaster this training session is going to be. How bad can this be?
Oh, dear.
Now, onto actual stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you've got some actual you stuff to talk about rather than just crap we found on the internet.
Well, all of our stuff is crap we found on the internet.
Yeah, but we also occasionally talk about ourselves, like I've just had for the last 20 minutes.
Well, I've got a couple of things, but you, keep going.
How's your health?
Look, I can at least sleep on my right side now, which is nice.
I still which can't is your right side? The right side or the right side?
That's it. But I still can't sleep on my left side. My shoulder is still too sore.
Did you sleep on your left side before?
Yes, before the accident I could, yes.
I mailed it in 15 years and they said after the accident I'd be able to sleep on my left side again, but no. Yeah. Can't play the piano any better either.
But I tell you what, these are the days when I'm wishing I was still riding a Japanese bike.
Really?
I love the Triumph. But of the 27 parts that they need to replace on the bike, Triumph Australia has 16 of them on back order for 3 weeks. Man, if I was riding a Japanese bike, I could pick up spares at a 7-Eleven. Like,
yeah, but the person parked out the front wouldn't like it.
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's like, have these guys not heard of, you know, inventory management and stock levels? And so anyway.
I have. They've heard of inventory mismanagement.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's now been 3 weeks tonight since I came off, and they're saying, you know, another 2.5-3 weeks at least, you know, before the parts are here, and then, you know, presumably 2 or 3 days for the, you know, the dealership to actually get it all assembled for me. So it's going to be just about April before I get back on there.
The winter.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
That's no fun at all, dude.
No.
But more importantly, you're better. More better.
Yeah, yes. Getting
you're better. You're even more better.
That's getting
can I just mention, I need to mention this to get it off my chest. I was at it's my wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, thanks.
Which number?
Well, apparently it's 14. I know this because last year it was our 13th.
Right.
And I know it was our 13th because when my wife said it's our wedding anniversary tomorrow, I said, is it really? How many years is that, 10? She goes, no, it's 13. I remember that very clearly. So it's 14. Right. But I was out, you know, I thought I'd go out and do some shopping today, try and buy her a little something, yeah. You know. That failed miserably, I have to tell you right now.
Right.
She got nothing, not something,
right.
Something.
Right.
But I was looking in this jewellery window, jewellery shop window, and I saw that they were advertising diamond simulants. Simulant diamonds.
Would that be cubic zirconia?
Oh, fake. It could be another one. But simulant of all the... I tell you, all the words. We need these extra words. These extra words are just so helpful for our language.
Mate, the functionality of that simulant diamond.
What was its connectivity like? So I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Just
so what else have you got on your list?
Well, I came across a couple of interesting new flash guns.
Right.
Which was kind of cool. I can't remember why the first one's interesting anymore. Right.
Which one are we talking about?
It's the Nissan. Oh, yeah. Well, they've just come out with a new radio.
Commander and groups and 1/8000th of a second sync speed.
There you go. Did I write notes, did I?
You did.
How observant of me. There we go.
At least I can read your notes.
So you can do multiple flash guns.
Right.
And set them as different group numbers, so flash one, flash two, and so you can control the power by from the commander unit, which is pretty darn good. Flashes up to 1/8000th of a second, which is sync speed. So it's got some really nice looking stuff attached to it.
Yeah.
Built in radio control. Well, see, all this new stuff's coming to town. 2.4
gig transmitter built in.
Yep.
That's awesome.
But the ability to... Yeah, I'm sure you can do this with other brands as well, but built into the flash and it's kind of nice.
But the thing is, being Nissan, it's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than going out and buying, you know, your name brand stuff.
You young men, boyos, whatever they're called, whatever the Chinese name of those flash guns.
Oh, Yong Nuo, yep.
That's the one, yeah, Young Boyo.
they do have
the
one.
The quality of that stuff's poor. Yeah, they have, but I know from the...
Why is it?
Well, because the guy who imports them tells me he's got a 30% failure rate.
Really?
Yeah. Is that poor enough for you?
Well, I've got three, so in theory, one of them should have failed by now.
Yeah.
And
I had four and they all died.
Hey?
So I had four and they all died. So between the two of us, we're on 50%.
Bollocks.
I'm telling you.
Really?
So the importer's lying to me, is he? The importers tell me, I love her product so good. Pity about the 30% failure rate. He's not selling it up much, is he? Unless it's really 60%, he's selling down. That's only 30%. Why would the importer tell me that there's a 30% failure rate if there's no 30% failure rate?
Okay.
So, and I said, between our two experiences, I've had four and all four have died.
Wow.
You've had three and been lucky.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a batch thing.
Oh, okay.
It depends which batch you get. So batch A is good, batch B, not so...
So the Monday morning jobs don't do so well.
Don't buy them after Chinese New Year or something. Before and after. But Nissan have great build quality.
Okay.
So the Nissan stuff's really... So it's maybe a benefit there. The Nissan stuff's really, really good.
Yeah,
right. So that was a cool-looking flash.
Very interesting.
And then I came across this other little one on Indiegogo called the Q20.
Right.
And now I think the flash may be a bit kind of pointless because it's looking a bit on the small side. It's only got a guide number of 20.
Okay. Yep.
But what I loved was the idea that the hot shoe part of the flash stays on your camera, the flash pops off, and the hot shoe becomes a radio trigger for the flash.
Oh, sweet.
Which is a kind of a neat little piece of engineering, I thought. So I was pretty pleased with that.
It'd be good for a little bit of side fill, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as your main light source.
Small stuff. Yeah, it's if you've got something like one of the little Fuji XTs, a little small, you want to carry a small flash around with you, but still have some off-camera capabilities, I reckon it'd be awesome.
And it would probably be quite acceptable if all you were doing was like little product shots for selling stuff on eBay.
Yep, probably good for a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And the guide number 20 is not horrendous.
No.
Yeah, we've worked with a lot worse in the past. But I just really like the idea of how this little, the hot shoe pops off. And when it comes off, the flash becomes perfectly square. See, it just stands up by itself.
Nice.
because it doesn't have the hot shoe to fall over it. So, which is once again, I thought it was just a neat Indiegogo project, but just a neat little bit of product.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And we were talking briefly last week when we were trying to record about Sony bringing out some new lenses.
Oh, were we? Okay, yeah.
Glad you remember the scintillating conversation.
Mate, I couldn't hear much of what was happening last week.
Yeah, good point. I thought, but you actually said it, not me.
Well, not this. No, I didn't bring this up.
You mentioned there was like five lenses. No. And I said, yeah, and I've singled out one of them.
Oh, no, you're obviously talking about the other podcast you're on, mate, because it wasn't me.
You mean the good one?
Yeah.
the one with all the listeners. The ones who don't jump on Facebook and said, yay, you're not recording this week. Yay, I've got an hour of my life back. Yay. But thanks, Milena. She came back with some support on the Facebook page there. Yeah. What am I going to do without you? Yeah, it was lovely. What am I going to do without you? But the Sony, 24 to 240.
That's pretty cool.
It's a great range. Ten times optical zoom for a 35mm sensor.
Yeah.
And all these lenses, I mean, they're built, just stunningly built.
Yeah, the build. That'd be quite a good travel lens, I would imagine.
It'd be an awesome travel lens, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of, there'd be times where you'd miss, you know, your constant 2.8, but you'd get by.
But not that much, yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I
mean, true.
I think it's a bit overrated. Yep. You might miss it. Yeah, and once again, the high ISO is not a problem. So it's not like you need the 2.8 for low light.
No.
Just the out of focus crud, and that's, yeah.
And to be honest, when you're doing travel stuff, you know, often, yeah, certainly, often you don't need, you know, super wide aperture stuff, because you generally want a bit of depth of field because of what you're shooting.
Context.
Yeah.
So it's a fabulous looking lens. The only thing I'd probably miss, if I had a Sony A7 or whatever, and that lens, I'd probably just have like a prime 16mm as well.
Right.
Yeah. I just want something
Yeah. 24 is not very wide.
Yeah. But that's pretty all good. All around in two lenses. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Small body too. Remember, so small body, two lenses, bang, and that little Q20 flash. Just for a little bit of off camera fill.
Yeah,
because it'd be great for a little bit of fill light. Yeah, as you say. Yeah, it'd be a great little kit.
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Sony, if you're listening, one each, thanks. Very lovely, Ollie.
Because Glenn wants to sell his, because he's got no use for it.
a photograph that sort of went viral last week on the internet. You likely saw.
Was this the dress?
No.
Oh.
Not the dress. Forget the dress. a weasel riding a woodpecker.
Oh yes, I did see that.
But I found a little article where the photographer's explaining how he managed to get the shot, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I've got that in the notes there. I thought people who've seen the shot go, "How on earth did you do that?"
Yeah.
The lead up's there and it tells you how it happened. And
cool. I'll have to have a read of that.
So that was kind of good. Then I came across another interesting photographer this week, who's photographer, artist, montager, whatever you want. Yeah, if montager is probably not a word. It should be montagivity, probably. She's operating in the montage space, so I'll give her that. Her name's Angela Bacon Kidwell.
Right.
And just I like dark imagery.
Yeah,
and she's done some great,
aka just, underexposed. Yeah,
dark. Yeah,
yeah.
But some really, really, really moody, emotive imagery.
Which
I liked. And on this website I came across called PhotoEye.com, I as in EYE.
Yep.
Which I'd never seen before.
No.
And they showcase a range of fabulous photographers and artists.
I'm just looking at the, you know, 20 odd images that come up when you go to that link that you provided. And as a Springsteen fan, it reminds me of the cover artwork from The Ghost of Tom Joad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who?
Yeah.
No,
Do you not know who Tom Joad was?
I've got that CD.
Do you not know who Tom Joad was?
No.
Tom Joad was the central character in Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath.
Ah, Wrath. Yeah.
If you like. Deep preview.
You say castle, I say castle. What are you going to do?
Deep preview.
whichever you prefer, exactly.
Anyway. They're just, but yeah, no, it's lovely images.
A lot of, the majority of that, all they come from one shoot, which is kind of sickening if that's the case. That's a lot of good imagery out of one photo shoot.
Yeah.
Imagery and yeah, ethereal pasting and whatever she's doing to it, whatever her process is. But, yeah, I thought that
bit
was...
A bit of excessive artificial vignetting, though.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the look at the moment as well. It's a focal. But imagine, as you're saying, now this is probably...
Erin King, look. She loves that look.
Yeah.
Loves. Yeah, raves about it.
Bloody Erin.
She'll be into me for that.
Yeah. But not to denigrate this woman's artistic work, but they're like great CD covers and great book covers.
Yes.
And as you're saying, you know, it's got that great style to it that really focuses your attention in on the salient character or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what that sort of vignette looks sort of does a good job for. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And then we both came up with the same article last week about Trigger Trap, because we've talked about Trigger Trap in the past.
Yes.
Complete failure.
Very sad story. So
It is. They've pulled the pin on the entire, was it Kickstarter-funded project where they raised $400,000, $12 of it left or something?
basically, Hiya, who was the CEO who we interviewed on this podcast last year. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We spoke with him, was it last year? It might even have been 2013.
Vaguely remember him.
Yeah, he put up a blog post on the Trigger Trap website saying that, you know, one of the things that he's come to realize is that, you know, it's all well and good to put these Kickstarter projects together, and it can be, you know, relatively simple to bring the funds together to do what you want to do, but the actual logistics of putting it all together and dealing with suppliers and speccing, you know, the creation of parts, and
I'm sure we had this would be the same sort of scenario that the Flash Cube went
through. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had so many delays and so many problems, and there must have been a very perilous pathway as well.
So, I mean, he put up the super short version. This is just three sentence points. We have a final working prototype, but it cost 5 times more to get to this point than we'd planned for, and will cost 3 times more to manufacture per unit than we'd hoped. Point number two, the upshot of this is that we can't afford to put ADA, that was the name of the project, into production, and are refunding the remaining Kickstarter funds to our backers as a result. And point three, if you're a backer, please see refunds at the bottom of this post and you'll receive an email with additional instructions. So that was the super short version.
Yeah. I've got to say, his letter was excellent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There was no running away and hiding, no shirking the issue. The pure economics of it all, and said, you know, this is one product of all the stuff that we do, and we can't bankrupt ourselves and disappoint the 20,000 users we have for the 3,000 people who backed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's economic.
Kudos to him for giving the money back.
I agree.
You know,
well, for whatever was left,
Yeah. Like, so many people would have just gone, well, we'll keep throwing money at the problem until the problem is solved, and then eventually get to the point where there is no money left, and then just walk away. So, you know, to Hiya, I'm devastated that they ran up against these problems, but I think he handled it beautifully.
I agree. Totally agree. I thought it was certainly the best. And they talk about their failures about, you know, we promised we'd keep everyone up to date all the way through the process, and we didn't even manage to do that sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that happened with the Flash Cube. Their communication, because they're so bogged down doing so much other stuff.
Yeah,
communication fails, and that just gets everyone.
And as you read in that letter, you know, it was because people left the company who were responsible for the keeping everybody in the loop side of things the keeping everyone in the loop fell in the hole.
Yeah, so, and that person was also dealing with suppliers. And when he left, that he realized he hadn't been quite honest about what he'd been doing there either. So, it's tough. It's tough.
Very. So
then I came across a new type of filter from our friends at DP Review, from Takina are launching some water dispersing filters.
Does that Does that mean you've got your camera underwater?
No, but it means if you're doing a long time, like a 5-minute exposure on a seascape, and you get a splash
Of
water, it doesn't sit as a blob,
as a droplet on the filter.
It disperses out to a very fine film that you can keep on shooting through with no ill effect.
Wow,
that I thought was darn clever.
That's funky.
It's £300 UK money for the filter,
or you could just take an air puffer with you. Puff the water away in the middle of your exposure.
There's always that, isn't there?
Well, you could spend £300 on a filter. I mean, I don't know.
What a novel concept.
Whatever floats your boat.
Did you make that up just then? Is it a whole new concept of how to shoot those things? Your son, you should patent that straight away.
Yeah.
Genius. No one's ever thought of doing that before. Of course, clearly. if it's a lot of rain, what you need is one of those air blowers, those big leaf blowers.
Yeah,
and you blow just in front of the lens, so no water hits your lens in the first place.
That's it.
You blow from below the lens. You blow the water back up.
Yep.
So it doesn't come down the lens. See, there's all sorts of ways around this. But $300. I bought a leaf blower for $39.
That's right.
That'll do the job.
You just need a very long extension cord to run it.
Yeah, there's always that. But interesting, if this is something that eventually comes down to mainstream coatings on all filters.
Yeah.
It's a pretty neat piece of, not even filters, just filters. Imagine windscreens and cars.
Yeah.
Windows on houses and buildings where the water just whoop.
Automatically.
Doesn't create droplet mess and dirt. It just... perfectly even film of dirt.
Mm.
But that was pretty darn cool.
Yep.
What else? And then, I saw this article also on D Preview about the World Press Photo Contest, people. They're running an ethics symposium.
Right.
Because 20% of the entrants in the World Press Photo Contest were disqualified for cheating.
One out of five.
They're the ones they caught.
Yes,
it's like cycling and drug cheats, It's not how many are actually doing, it's just how many got caught. One in five. So they're running an ethics competition for the World Press, an ethics conference for the World Press.
That's classic.
Oh, no, 20%. And the winner of one of the categories was stripped of his first place after he misrepresented one of his photos as well.
Wow.
So he was doing a series of photographs in some town in Germany or something.
Right.
And one of the photographs he included was actually from another town, and he misrepresented saying it was from that town.
Right.
Even though it wasn't. And it was just, but especially you've got to be honest about that sort of stuff. And so he was disqualified for having one photo out of his series that was not taken where he said it was.
Wow.
Well,
rules is rules.
Them's rules, isn't it? That's it. So that's my stuff for the 1.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And there would have been more this week, except, last night you said, can you record today? I said, I've had no time this week. And it's actually going to go because this week's shot anyway. So
right.
I've got my new kitchen going starting on Sunday.
That's nice.
Dismantling my kitchen on Sunday,
yeah,
which is an unusual day to come, you'd have to think. So they're coming over on a Sunday, and then we're going to be in all sorts of mess.
Don't believe them if they tell you it's going to be done in one day.
No, the dismantling, 4 hours, they reckon.
Right.
Yeah, and...
and then 4 months to put it back together.
Yeah, well, they reckon... they said we'll be without a kitchen for 2 to 4 weeks.
Right, yeah.
Which is a fair period of time.
It is.
Yeah, with little
You'll
kids.
Be eating a lot of takeout.
And here's this. One of the local mums, right, from my mum's group, when I drop the kids off to school, I'm part of the little mum's cliche, awesome, mum of the year type woman, makes all sorts of amazing meals, amazing snacks and everything else. And I've worded her up. I said, look, kitchen's going in. We're not going to come and bother you at your house every night. We're not.
Right.
We'll just drive past and pick up. We're not going to stay and be in the space for 2 weeks. We'll just pick up preheated food or something that can still be microwaved. We're not that picky. But guess what she's gone and done?
What?
Going to Hawaii.
Oh, So no, she's leaving you the keys to her house.
Just to avoid. No, no point in the keys to the house unless there's food cooked in it. if her freezer's not stacked full of food for my family, it's no point having the keys. Oh, dear. Yes, that's rather disappointing. So, yeah, take out and whatever can fit into the microwave or the barbecue.
Right. Now, did you see last week that Nikon has bought a medical imaging company called Optus?
I did see that.
OPTOS, not OPTUS.
Which is a company in Australia for those people who aren't in Australia.
$400 million, and it's, no pun intended, to reduce their exposure to the camera market.
Yeah.
Pretty telling. Like, a company like Nikon looking to reduce, you know, its
eggs-in-one-basket
model.
People like Olympus, Olympus have survived because of their medical imaging.
Yeah.
All these.
Yeah, and it's what kept Minolta going for a while too.
Yeah, exactly. So there's lots of precedents, I guess, for this. But yeah, it's as you say, quite concerning.
Yeah.
But I said, yeah, watch this space. If it, I'd be very surprised how much of these companies are still surviving in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, if Nokia can go, which are 10 times bigger than either of these two companies.
Yeah. Well, I was just about to say, how long before we start seeing Canon and Nikon branded smartphones?
Yeah, well, Nokia and Nikon are almost the same word when you think about it. Yeah, if you take the N off the end, but an A, there'd be Nikoa. Swap the couple of letters around, you've got exactly the same word. That's eerie, isn't it, when you think about it? Yeah, that's just out and out startling.
Yeah.
I think we're onto something here. Actually, this is kind of freaky. Speaking of freaky, this is completely irrelevant. Nothing to do with photography.
Right.
But there was a tragic accident happened in the US overnight.
Oh.
There overnight, where a woman drove off a bridge into a river, into a freezing cold river.
Oh.
25 years old, and she wasn't discovered till the next day, like 14 hours later.
Right.
Emergency services arrived on the scene of this car crash underwater, this car underwater.
Yep.
And the four guys, the fire guys, heard the woman yelling from inside, "We're over here, we're in here."
What? Inside the car?
Yeah, so they've yelled, "We're coming, stay, we're coming." They've bolted under, they've got this car, they've got down to the car, looked inside, there's the woman dead in the front seat. But what? In the back seat's her 18-month-old baby still alive.
Whoa.
And four guys heard it. They responded and bolted in.
What?
Exactly. That's yeah.
Wow.
Just a bit on the freaky side, isn't it? Hey?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. There's
nothing to do, but it's an interesting story. So, yeah. The power of motherhood, you know. Because, I mean, not speaking ill of that horrible story, but a similar thing happened to a guy. I read this series of books, true stories,
yeah.
About a guy who was whose mother tried to jumped in front of a horrible, evil person who was trying to kill her son and got killed herself. But the power of her love... when the guy actually went to attack the son, because now the mother's dead, the curse the guy was throwing bounced back and hit him, and Voldemort was no longer what he was, and Harry Potter had the scar on his forehead. So it could be a similar thing, the power of motherhood, you know, it's an amazing thing.
It could be completely similar to that.
Am I drawing a long bow here?
You know that every now and again I like to come up with a link of just a nice portfolio of images.
Absolutely.
There was a link that I sent you last week, the amazing abstract photography of Mike Cable.
Cable, the Cablester.
Yes.
That's him.
This is on photoargus.com. And this guy just does abstract stuff, and some of it's macro and some of it's not, but it is just a really interesting collection of images. I really enjoyed it.
It is great, isn't it?
Very abstract. Yeah,
so, some great landscapes in micro, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you
know, stuff is time. Yeah, is like landscape from space.
But it really is
just macro stuff of tiny fungi and bits of peeling paint and
that peeling texture. I don't know if it's paint or rust or what, but that just looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
There's some good stuff in there.
Well, you brought something to the podcast, dude. Well done.
And the one that sort of did grab me was on DIYphotography.net, and this is a new Chinese knockoff of the GoPro Hero.
Yes, the Xiaomi.
Is that how it's pronounced?
No idea.
I'm glad you knew. No, that sounds believable.
It's not, you know, that's the thing. As long as it sounds believable, people will believe it.
That's it.
If I hadn't said that, you would have believed
it. And is it the Yi camera? Yi camera?
It's your camera. Yeah. Have you got your camera with you?
That's what it is.
Have you got your camera?
It's twice as good and half the price of a GoPro.
Yeah.
$64. $64?
Yeah. Versus, well, we're talking about the entry-level GoPro. So the entry-level GoPro in the US is only $130.
Yeah, but it's half the price.
It's half the price. Well, yeah.
But 1080p, 60 frames a second.
Sony sensor.
Right.
It's a Sony back-illuminated sensor.
Yep. It's lighter, 72 grams versus 111 grams. Maximum storage, 64 gigs micro SD, where the Hero will only do 32 gig.
Yep.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of stuff. Wi-Fi built in. Like, wow. For $64. That is just insane.
And you can get self-motion camera and small ant rod.
What?
An ant rod.
An ant rod.
You always wanted an ant rod for your camera?
Apparently. What is it?
It's like a tripod, I think, to be honest. But they've got a range of accessories as well. Yeah. You've got to choose more suitable for your version.
I like the cat cam.
The cat cam?
Yeah, scroll down the page. Cat cam. You haven't got to cat cam yet.
I don't have a cat cam. Where's the cat cam? What's the cat cam?
Are you looking at the link I sent you?
No. DIY photography, yeah.
Yeah. So the first image is the white camera.
Third image. I was too far, but it's a harness for the back of your cat.
Yeah,
which is what you want, really.
Totally.
Yeah, I hope it's got a good stabilizer on it. But if you ever want to prove that it's not your cat going next door and peeing on somebody's pot plant, that's your way to go, isn't it? Proof. Unless it, of course, proves that the cat's peeing on them, you're in all sorts of trouble. But the problem is that camera doesn't look like it's ever going to leave China.
Why is that?
Because none of that company's any of the other products have ever left China.
Oh, okay.
So they're a Chinese-only company, and they keep all the products in there, which is a bit disappointing.
Someone will put them on eBay.
Well, I should have looked now. Is it on eBay now?
I don't know.
Is it even available yet?
Could very well be. Anyway, that's me for the week.
So I could have checked. Yeah, I just bought myself a lawnmower.
You did?
Yeah, whilst I was talking to you.
You bought a lawnmower on eBay?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's...
Did you not have a lawnmower?
I didn't have... I've got an electric one.
Oh.
I've never had a lawn to mow. It's always been like weed.
Right.
And now, the Xiaomi stuff, you do actually have a lot of Xiaomi stuff on Facebook. I just remember, I do know the name.
Okay.
Battery packs, like external battery packs for your phones, those little power banks you can carry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're all over the place on there, and they've also got a bunch of their phones on there as well now. So
right.
There's a possibility that,
we might see that camera.
It happen. Yeah, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is, $149 Australia, including postage.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Hmm, not quite as good as the pricing that DIY photography.net.
Well, it's 64 US. Well,
yeah, doesn't equate to 140 Australia, though.
Well, of course it does. First, that's $64 US translated from what it sells for in China. Okay.
Right.
So that's the Chinese price for it, right?
Yep.
Chinese, maybe even the manufacturing, who knows? But this probably is not what it would sell for in America. It would be probably like a $90 camera.
Right.
And that's, of course, excluding tax. You've got to put tax on top of that again.
Yep.
There's a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
I might buy one. I think I might click the link and buy one.
I want to know about your lawnmower.
I bought a lawnmower.
What sort of lawnmower? Was it petrol or electric?
I don't know. I didn't pay. No, it's a four stroke. What's that?
Right. Yeah, it's petrol.
There you go. Petrol.
Cool.
No, because the electric ones, not enough oomph on it.
They suck. I had one once they're just a waste of time.
A vacuum cleaner, they suck.
And you're always nervous that you're going to run over the bloody power cord with the thing.
I know. That's, I bought, what did I can't even find where I even bought stuff on this thing. following me. So I bought a Victor lawnmower.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just whilst talking to you.
With a Briggs and Stratton engine.
That looks like a good deal. I'll buy that.
How many horsepower?
Do they have horsepower, do they?
It should. Should say 3.5 or 4.5 or...
So, oh, no, it's not a Victor. It's a Rover. There we are.
Rover.
Both ends in R. Easy start, which is good. You'd love that.
Victor doesn't end in R. Victor ends with an A. Jeez. You're a real handyman, aren't you?
I told you about my handyman. I heard about my handyman disaster for the week.
I saw it on Facebook.
I decided to change we're changing the cisterns and the toilet seats on both of our toilets. So I thought, well, I'll start with the ensuite one so that I don't destroy the kids' one if I make a mess. Well, I made a hell of a mess. And we only have one toilet house until my mate can come next week. Yeah, I'm a great dismantler. I'm not a very good mantler.
Right.
I'm half a handyman.
Right.
Doesn't say how many horsepower. Are you sure they have horsepowers?
It's all right, mate. I'm beyond caring now.
Oh, they have four.
There is that a lot? Go. Right.
Is that a lot?
Excellent.
Should that be like 40 and I've got one-tenth of the power?
No, that's fairly standard for a lawnmower.
Because if I had four horses pulling around a mower in my front lawn, I'd be pretty happy,
frankly. You are the four horses of which you speak.
It would be awesome.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Well, I'm going to buy one of these Xiaomi's.
Yep.
And we can have a laugh when it fails on me in 6 weeks' time, whenever it finally arrives.
Any more from those guys that you were asking for a U-Buick camera?
No, I haven't heard anything from HDR, but they said Chinese New Year, give us a couple of weeks. Right. So,
was a couple of weeks ago. So.
It was, wasn't it? I better get back onto them.
Yeah.
Where's my free cameras? And as soon as we hear something from there, we'll be onto that as well. God, don't you just love free stuff?
Yeah. All right, mate. You have a good week.
You take care. Bye, everyone.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.